So we started with the Cox-Hausruby-Stein model. And this is basically our exponential random walk. And we had already said that we can rewrite our discounted share prices by taking the bank account process constant one. And the other process can be written in that form. And the question is now, when is it possible? So we had this situation that, okay, if you want to have a martingale measure, so for as you see, I'm preferring chalk. So for a martingale measure, and we assume that the SK tilde is FK measurable. And the last expression with K plus one, so the epsilon sigma epsilon K plus one, minus b minus logarithm of 1 plus r is independent. From FK, so for martingale measure with, so that one is not related to the measure, but the independence of course is related to the measure, right? So we need that we have independence. We need, so let's compute SK plus one conditional expectation of FK. That is SK one tilde. So we have this would be this, and then it comes the last factor for K plus one. So this one I'm going to do already something which you should not in your exam. I'm going to take this already out because it's measurable and the product is anyway it's finite value. So I just need this one inside. And then we use by the independence, that was also one condition which we had in the properties of conditional expectation. So this is standing here because it's FK measurable. I can take out what is known. Okay. And now we have this left. And here we use that these are independent because the epsilon K plus one is supposed to be independent from FK. Okay, so that means that we can, since it is independent, we can have the expectation. So we can cut the conditional expectation and just compute the expectation. And then we get that yeah, we can just compute it. So let's assume that with probability P, so epsilon K plus one is equal to one has probability P is equal to one minus the probability that epsilon K plus one is minus one. So this is what we assume here. And then we get P times epsilon k plus 1 minus b minus logarithm 1 plus a plus 1 minus p, and the same expression from, okay, what I'm doing. So that should be sigma because epsilon we have used, and here we get minus sigma because here we assume that epsilon k plus 1 is minus 1. Sorry. Okay, and now comes something which is also useful for the exercises, the star questions, because there you have to do the same calculation with three choices. And now what is the trick to see for two choices what you need to require? And what we need is, we need that this needs to be one. That's very clear. Because then we have the Martingale property here. And so we want to have this one, and the question is for which parameters this is true. Namely, for the p, we have also a restriction. The p should be between 0 and 1. So this needs to be satisfied. So can we choose freely sigma, b, and r? No, we cannot, because this expression and this expression need to turn out into one if I make what is here a convex combination. I don't know if you see this. So p plus 1 minus p, both are positive, and sum up to 1. So I make a convex combination of this value and that value. So you can also make a long calculation, but this is the trick, which actually Stefan told me, and I thought it's quite nice to see this. So we have a convex combination like P times A plus 1 minus P, 1 minus P times B, and that's supposed to be 1. And now what have you required from A and B? You have to require that one of them, so one choice would be both are equal to one, then it's true. But if one is less than one, between 0 and 1, then the other has to be bigger. Otherwise, you cannot achieve the one. So we need something like that. Okay, so we need that. Which is the smaller expression? This is the smaller expression that, okay, let's write it the other way around, maybe. So this is the smaller expression because here's a minus sigma. So we need that this one is less than one and the other is bigger than one, otherwise we cannot find a P. So you can easily, try by yourself. If you do such a convex combination, both are bigger, then you never reach one. Both are smaller than one, you never reach one either. So you really have to have this choice. One of them is bigger, the other one is smaller. Okay, and then for some reason, one takes the logarithm because I want to see a connection with between all these parameters. This gives me minus sigma minus b minus logarithm 1 plus r is less than 0 is less than sigma minus b logarithm 1 plus r. And now I have a minus b on both sides. So I'm going to add the b. And I'm getting that minus sigma is less than logarithm 1 plus r. I'm also adding the logarithm, actually. Plus b is less than sigma. Or in other words, that the modulus of logarithm of 1 plus r plus b is less than sigma. So sigma is positive. And then I have a relation which needs to be satisfied. And under this condition, I'm going to get the P. So then there exists a P in 0 and 1. So that's the condition which we put. Such that we have a martingale measure. So and the trinomial case goes similarly, it's just a bit more calculation. So that means that we have already shown that actually that there is exists at most one. So that means in the previous lectures, so that means that we have exactly one. So we have the number of martingale measures is one under this condition. And we have so let's write it again. Logarithm 1 plus r plus b is less than sigma. So the Cox-Ross-Rubinstein model we know now it satisfies the no arbitrage condition because it has just one martingale measure. And it is complete. So this is an application of the stuff we did so far in the general case. So maybe we should. Emphasize a bit. So this is the important properties which we have. Just need to turn back to the writing. Okay, so this is so we still have time. So this was the example, and now we start. Eventually, we start pricing with pricing of options. So this is a new chapter. Now it works. European and American. Option pricing and hedging. So in the exercises, you had already a couple of examples where you did it by hand, and then I said the martingale measure is a good tool to do this, and then you don't need to figure it out anymore by hand. And so we are going to learn more about that. So option pricing is that I find out the fair price in such a way that on average neither the buyer or the seller of the option is in disadvantage. So this is the rule, and after Black and Schultz and Merton figured this out, the buying and selling of option did increase a lot because the people started to trust. Maybe that was not such a good idea always, but it was more easy to figure out what is a fair price, and then this trading really started kind of to explode at that time. Okay, and we still do the same. We still do the same philosophy. So we want to have a price such that the buyer and the seller is on average not in disadvantage. So this is our rule. And yeah, what is American? What is European option? So European option. Trading, not trading, exercising. So that means that I'm using the option is at T. So we have the trading times from 0 to T. But we can only exercise the option at capital T. And American option exercising is possible at any time. Well, maybe not at time zero, that wouldn't make sense, but at any time after that. And what kind of options? So there also exist other options, exotic options, Asian options, and some. So I think it was Shirayev who was baptizing a certain kind of option, Asian options. And Shirayev is from Russia. And actually, he did also a lot of probability teaching. So we use his book in our lectures. And so Shirayev was asked why he called this kind of options Asian options. And he said, well, European American exists. So just to be fair to all continents, the next one is called Asian. So it has nothing to do with which option is traded and which part of the world. So it's just an artificial name. Doesn't mean anything. So we have a European call option, for example, that would be yeah, and we need to say the strike price. So we had this at the beginning already. So maybe you remember. So then we would call this option, and in general, an option for us is just a non-negative random variable, but in this case, we would have, for example, this one. So you can think of ST1 as this one share price, and we take the plus here. So that would be European call option. And then there could be other types. This is a European digital option. Or binomial, I think. It has plenty of names, but it's always the same function. So that is just the indicator function that ST1 is greater or equal to K. Okay, so we are going to continue with not just martingales, so the old theory which we kind of taught maybe a couple of years ago was now we are using martingales, but actually it is more realistic to work with super martingales. So maybe I should start with a new page. So we had super martingales already introduced. And what was the point? Y k starting from 0 to capital T So we assume that we have omega f p and the filtration. And then we say that this is a super martingale. We just recall. Somewhere a couple of weeks ago at the beginning, I introduced that already. So same conditions, if it's a super martingale, if yeah, let's start with the measurability. So yk is fk measurable. Then we have that it is integrable. And we have that we have the super martingale property. So we take the conditional expectation. Yeah, and we might change the measure. So I'm going to call it a P super martingale. Then I'm taking the expectation with respect to P. So you know already that sometimes we have more than one measure. Okay, so, and if I take the conditional expectation yk plus of yk plus one given fk, then this is less than equal to yk almost truly. And the sentence which Stefan has invented, which helps people to remember whether this inequality is in this way or the other way around. So he was telling that super martingales are not so super. Why are they not so super? Because you can interpret this, the conditional winnings in the next step. And if the conditional winnings are less than your present wealth, then the future doesn't look so super. So super martingales are not so super. So just a... Okay, so what we want to understand super martingales better, and what do we do? We try to interpret that a super martingale, and that is Stoop's decomposition, and some of you know this already from the course stochastic processes. So sorry, I'm going to repeat this now so that everyone is on the same level. Super martingale. I think we did it with super martingales in that course, but that's not a big difference. So I can understand as a martingale minus a predictable increasing process. So that's the idea. And now let me formulate the proposition. So we have a P super martingale. Let yk, k goes from 0 to capital D, be a P super martingale. Then there exists a process A, also AK, K from 0 to capital T, such that, and now we collect a lot of properties. We assume that A0 is identically 0 for all omega. Then AK as it said here, predictable, right? It is fk minus 1 measurable. Yeah, for all k, now I should say from 1 to capital T. If I choose k equals 0, that wouldn't make sense because I get f minus 1 measurable, which we don't have. Then I assume that it is increasing. So it means that a1 is greater or equal to a0 and so on up to a capital T. And I'm not so strict. I'm fine if it is 2p almost truly. And the third property is that if I sum up yk plus the process ak, then I'm getting a martingale. So a martingale is a super martingale plus a predictable increasing process. Just turned out. Okay, let's shortly talk about the proof. Yeah, so we still, what is still important, I forgot to say, this decomposition is unique. So otherwise it wouldn't make really sense to use that. In the following sense, so we always have, if we are in the general case, we have to take care of null sets. So if a prime is another process satisfying 1 to 3, then the probability that AK is equal to AK prime is equal to 1 for all K from 0 to capital T. So for 0 is trivially true, but for the rest, this is in the searching. Okay, so how was the proof? So we assume that we have a process. So assume A is such a process what would be true then we have that yk plus 1 plus ak plus 1 given fk is equal to yk plus ak p almost truly. So this is because of, we assume it's a martingale. So the reason is free. So for a martingale, this should hold. And on the other hand, we use that ak plus 1 is, so it's predictable, so that means is fk measurable. So you could use linearity and write the conditional expectation of yk plus 1 and ak plus 1 because this is predictable. is fk measurable and we had the rule, if it is fk measurable, then the conditional expectation is not changing this anymore. Okay. So, well, the left hand side, the right hand side, I don't need. So I, the left hand side is equal to that. And then I can we rearrange. And get that yk minus this expression. So I'm interchanging the sides, then I'm taking away this. So I still have plus ak. And I'm putting, and the other one is still on the other side. So it's just a rearranging of the line above. Okay, so we have this. And now we get a recursion to compute this. So we can use what we know. So we start with a 0, 0 and ak plus 1 is given as ak. So I don't know why this, I turned this around. Maybe that was not very clever. I'm not doing that. I'm writing it in that way. So we get dizzy if we turn the things around and around. So I'm keeping this and I put this on the other side. This looks much easier. And I need it in that way. Okay, now I have a recursion. I start with a zero and I get I get this, and this is called A. And since we can create this sequence of A's, it shows also that we have only one choice. So if it should satisfy what it should, then this is the way how to get the process A. This gives us the uniqueness. Because up to almost surely, we have no choice to change this. So we have to follow somehow the rule in order to make the conditions true. Okay. But from this one, we can also get the existence, because this we can do. I mean, we can start with that. So we can start with a zero. And what we have to make sure is that if we do this, always the conditions are satisfied. So we are given the process y. So this is the situation. And we can take conditional expectations. So we can construct this. The question is, does what we construct, does it satisfy all conditions? So certainly this is satisfied. This is also satisfied because okay, so maybe that was too fast. AK should be FK minus 1 measurable. Okay, let's check. So AK plus 1 should then be FK measurable. This is true because this is measurable. And this is measurable if we start from the beginning. And this is also by definition of conditional expectation. This is also FK measurable. So that's okay. Next question. Are they increasing? How can we see that this must be greater or equal to that one? Okay, let's look at this two terms here. So we had said at the beginning that a super martingale has the property that this conditional expectation is less or equal to that one. So if I take this minus the left-hand side, I get something non-negative. So keep in mind this equation or its inequality. And then you can see that this is non-negative. Okay, so that means that this is increasing. And the last thing we have to check, so properties. One and two are satisfied, as we just did see. So we check three. So what was three? Y plus A together should be a martingale. So adaptedness and stuff like integrability and so is satisfied. So we only need to check the martingale property. So we start. So we check the martingale property. So what do we do? The yk plus one, well, that's given. There we can't do anything. But we have a recursion formula for ak plus one, and this is what we are going to use. Standing here, I'm just copying. So I take away, I'm adding yk plus, no, minus the conditional expectation. And I'm adding ak. And then I still need to take the conditional expectation. Okay, we use linearity. We get the conditional expectation. So of the conditional expectation, of course. The second term, I don't need to write as conditional expectation because it's measurable. So here I'm using already after linearity, I'm using that is measurable. And the same for this one. And since it's measurable, I can just leave the conditional expectation off and write just the term. So we have yk. And also this is measurable because by definition, this is fk measurable. So I can make one more line with the same property. So I have minus conditional expectation of yk plus one given fk plus ak. And then you see, fortunately, these two terms cancel and I'm getting what I want. Okay, that's a martingale. And that was the proof. So that is a good point here to stop for this week. Let me stop.